So I've been here all week, which is quite exciting. But the thing that really annoys me, having playing on these massive screens, is that I can't see what you see. I can't. I have no idea what I actually look like. This game. It's extremely frustrating. That's the back of my head, incidentally. That's what I look like from the back. It's very rare that you ever see what you look like from the back. You only ever see the back of your head at the end of a haircut. That's the only time most people see the back of their head. And let's be honest, we genuinely don't give a shit. People care greatly what they look like from the front. From the back, not interested, especially men. It's a very awkward moment for a man at the end of a haircut when we're presented with the back of our head. And they look at you for approval. Do you like the work I've done back here? I think in the history of hairdressing, no man has ever reacted in this moment in any other way other than, yeah. Do people go, I love it, I'm leaning backwards, I'm spending the rest of my life in reverse. We don't care. Men are just grateful to still have hair. We're just grateful, we don't care what the haircut. We go for a haircut, they tell you, they ask you questions before even the hair wash. So what are we doing today? Some kind of consultation? We have nothing to say at this moment. Haircut, that's what I want, haircut. I want to leave here with less hair than when I entered in the building. I like people who go bald, but they a little bit stays in the middle. They have like a little island of hair that breaks away from the mainland. And they keep the island. They must think, shall I keep the island? I'll keep the island. Maybe they can build a little walkway to the mainland. I saw one bloke with this, and it was in the shape of an arrow. He had a pretty decent arrow on the top of his head. And I wondered when people ask him directions, does he tell them or just go... Of course, it's a very different story for women. Hairdressing, layers and colours and tints. My wife holds all these lotions and potions. The amount of creaming she does. Hours. She comes out of the shower. We're still 2 or 3 hours from getting into the bed. There's creaming, different creams. Creaming myself, and I can be with you in about 45 minutes when it's creaming my entire body. Sliding across. She said to me the other day, she said, can you get me this cream? It's a miracle must-have cream, and it's in all the shops. Really expensive. I said, what's it for? You got all the creams in the world. She said, it's for wrinkles. But what? You don't have any wrinkles. I know, Michael, and I won't. If I use this cream every single day for the rest of my life, I'll never have wrinkles. That's why it's a miracle must-have cream. I'm like, well, when even do you to have wrinkles? I don't know, Michael, 20 years or something? 20 years? You want me to buy you something 20 years in advance of you maybe getting it? This sounds like a rip-off to me, all right? And I will take it back. I don't like to be ripped off. I'm more than happy to walk in there in 2029 and go, look, I purchased this cream 20 years ago. I've got the receipt, which you'll notice is in a better condition than the face of my wife. I want a full refund. These cosmetics departments, they're the weirdest place I've ever seen. Big, bright lights everywhere. And people working there, they seem to have every product they sell on their face. They can't even move their own faces. Can I interest you with anything from the Clarins range? It's all over my face. Just pick what you want from the face. They even asked me a question as I was walking through. Said, excuse me, sir. What is it? Quick question about your face. Sorry, you have a question about my face? Yes, it's looking very dry. I should have a wet face, should I? You don't have a wet face? Don't see anybody else with a wet face? She asked one of the most difficult questions I've ever been asked. She said, what is your daily skin routine? Every day I have skin. What exactly are you getting at? But I don't really think that I'm not a generous man. I did recently buy her a very beautiful dress. We went out shopping especially for a dress. Shopping for clothing can be quite tense with her, with any woman, I think, because she is the same size, but in different shops. She's different sizes, depending on how they interpret a different size. I really don't know why this is, but she can range from a size 8, and then next door she'll be a size 12. And if she's an 8, we have a really lovely day together. If she's a 12, we have to go home immediately. She'll be like, we're fucking leaving! What is it, darling? I'm disgusting, that's the problem! You sure you couldn't slip into them even with all the cream that you have on? Don't be fucking rude to me! I guess at the point she's more interested in the size than actually what she's trying on. She's like, oh, Michael, it's an 8! It's an 8! And it fits me really, really well. I mean, it's an 8, it's an 8. It just sort of slides on and it's an 8. You don't know what this means. I've been waiting for this moment. Michael, it's an 8. Darling, it's a shoe. What are you getting so excited about? So I look around for this dress, a personal shopper. I've never met one of these before. The campiest man I've ever met in my entire life, who literally jumped into our life. I've never seen anyone so camp, they jumped into our life. We're sort of looking around, browsing. He came running over, excuse me. Hello. Are you shopping here today? Now, I have a bit of an issue with very camp gay men, and my issue is that I realise I'm quite camp myself. And I feel that if I behave normally, as a heterosexual, I'm sort of treading on their territory a bit. So I tend to go very much in the opposite direction. Are you shopping here today? What's your fucking look like, mate? Waiting for a try. Whereas, of course, naturally, I would have gone, yes, and you can help. Yay! So he takes us into this room, right? Starts showing us all these dresses. And my wife's loving them. Have you seen this? It's very exciting, all these designer dresses. I knew it was too expensive. I knew there was problems here. When he gave me champagne as well. You have a glass of champagne and just sit there and let us girls sort it out. It's okay. So finally she finds this one, she loves it. The guy's practically in tears. You're so beautiful, I've never seen anything so beautiful in my life. My wife's like, can we afford it, Michael? No, we can't afford it. I knew this was going to happen. Nobody can afford this dress. It's a joke. People shouldn't spend this kind of money on something you can't drive, okay? It's not natural. But I could see how happy she was with it, and I could see the disappointment in her eyes. And quite frankly, I sensed an opportunity. So I said, look, I can see how beautiful you look in this, and I know that, you know, we've come here for a reason, and I want to make you happy, and you know how much I love you, and it's a special occasion. I was thinking mainly about the blowjob, and I think that you deserve it. You know what it's like after 10 years in a relationship. Blowjobs work on a sort of reward structure. There's no spontaneity left in the relationship. If I do a series of good things, she will make an announcement. Somebody might be getting a blowjob later.
Is it me?
I even noticed over the years, I seem to be getting blowjobs on my birthday, which led to me on my last birthday actually saying the words, darling, will I be getting a birthday blowjob today? Then you enter into serious negotiating. Yes, Michael, you will. Would you like a quick one now or a long one later? I've got a lot to do in the kitchen. Ah, how romantic. Have we considered those options? I'm going to go for a quick one now in case one of us dies at lunch. How about that? So I said to her, look, come on, let's just get this dress before I change my mind. Let's get it and go. And she says, I need a clutch. I need a what? I need a clutch. Sorry, there's something wrong with the car? You're telling me this now? No, Michael, it's called a clutch bag. It goes with the dress. It's like an outfit. Have you not seen them? Do you not know anything about fashion? It's like, no, I don't. What is it? So it's a little bag, and it's your essentials. Lipstick, keys, phone, that kind of thing. You just clutch it like that, and it matches the dress. Oh, all right, how much is that? £500. £500 for a little bag, for your lipstick and your keys and your phone. I said, for £500, I could hire a human being to walk alongside you, holding your lipstick and your keys and your phone. It's fun watching her try things on, though. Anybody try things on. People behave very oddly when they try things on, don't they? They put dresses on and trousers. You're walking away, you'll never actually walk once you've purchased the trousers. She walks into the changing room like a normal human being holding the trousers. Then she comes out doing this really, what do you think? I think they're quite nice. What are you doing? I'm seeing if they fit, but you don't need to be doing that in trousers. Men do the same thing. When I put a suit on, there's this whole suit thing that you do. What do you think of this suit? I think it's pretty good. No one's ever done this when they own the suit. But when they're trying it on, there's a huge preparation for acting like a complete freak in a suit. You wouldn't go to a business meeting going, hello, my name's Ian. It's sort of new suit and trousers. The main one is his shoes. When you try shoes on, you will go for a walk in the shoe shop. But it's not a walk you'll ever do anywhere else outside of the shoe shop. It's a shoe shop walk. You walk around in this sort of... I can't like these shoes. I don't think they'll rub. I'm just going to bang it for a bit. I think they're quite comfortable. They'll be perfect for my Elvis impersonation. I like them. Let me just push them with my thumb for no reason at all. The toe is in the toe section. That's ideal. All the other toes are there. If the toe was at the back, I wouldn't buy them. That'd be bizarre. The sides are filled with the sides of my feet. Perfect. Everything I wanted happened when I went down there. And I think I might definitely get these. They even have little mirrors where you can put your shoe under and look at the shoe from a slightly different angle. Oh, look, there's the shoe from that angle. The cat will love them. That's probably what the cat will see. They even give you one shoe. These lazy people who work in shoe shops, they bring out the shoes, they lace up one and hand you the one. And do we say, excuse me, people in life wear two shoes? You're wearing two shoes now. Oh, no, we don't. We take the one shoe, we go for a walk in that. This is good. I love this shoe. Give me two of these. Why would you walk around the shoe shop in one shoe? There's no moment in your life that we would ever be recreating this moment. Wallet, keys, phone. I'm late. One shoe. I've got to go to a meeting. It's not just clothes that you try. Everything. You buy a sofa, you start bouncing on it and rubbing the fabric. You know, nobody sits like this at home. People don't come round to your house. Do take a seat.